Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
It's on the list of things to fix. Oh, hello. Hello there. I didn't say that. That television belongs to the Winterhawks. All right, 42 seconds after the hour of noon, and this is the month of May, the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along and making part of your listening day live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. We thank you for coming along. It is the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Best, most shining part of your entire day.
Nay, your entire life.
We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You want to email, you can do that as well. It is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. It is Friday, which means later on, our good friend Scotty D will be here. Scott Daly, by the way, who... I guess we've already said he works at Wells Fargo. He sent me a whole parcel of photographs of that Wells Fargo and Tiger. Apparently, the customer was disgruntled. I thought it was just some guy. I was just some guy who was driving poorly that day. But apparently, some disgruntled customer, and he sent me like 80 photographs of the SUV in the middle of the bank. So we'll get the story straight from Scott Daly about that later on from FilmFeverRadio.com. It is Friday, which means that Scotty J is also here. Now, the best part of it is, it's not just that Sarah is free to contribute on this program in an even more fantastic way.
I love Scotty J.
It's not just that Scotty J is here helping to take the workload off all of our narrow shoulders.
And shows up early every time he's here.
It's not just that he comes early and stays late. It's not just that he works for free. It's mainly that he works for free. But also, it's that now he has started bringing me new production pieces every time he comes.
He's very diligent.
He really is. He's a hard worker. Do you remember last week? You're forgiven if you don't. We didn't get till to the very end of last week's show, but last week, Scotty J, who was our intrepid intern in this case being code for slave, he brought us this piece of production. It was sort of a man on the street kind of a thing, which was, depending on one's outlook and taste, either fantastic or quite possibly the worst thing we've ever heard. We, of course, think it was fantastic. Your mileage may vary. We'll play that again. Now, here's why we're going to play it again, because he just can't be stopped. He brought us a new one. It's genius. So we'll play that later. We got the top five today in honor of Keith Richards surviving, falling out of a tree, being hit by a jet ski, and having holes drilled in his brain. He can't be stopped either. So we will have that today, the top five Rolling Stones guitar intros of all time. The top five Rolling Stones introductions of all time. Bushwatch, Clergy Watch, Hick Watch. Let me tell you this about today's Hick Watch. It doesn't come to us from here. It comes to us from across the pond, as they say, from Britain, where people are deeply stupid and alcoholic, just as like they are here.
Bad teeth.
Some things never change. So we got a Hick Watch today. It takes place. Actually, it's a double Hick Watch. Find somewhere in that pile you've got that story about British teeth. It's not in the watch pile. There's the Hick Watch, but then there's that story about British teeth and how they clean them. We should add that to the story, make it a double European Hick Watch today. We'll do that. Jim Roop's going to be here with Mother's Day lawsuit. That's all I need to hear. Don't even know what it's about. We got that. Also, what else? Well, a bunch of crap. Lisa Goddard's going to be here. Apparently, Tony Snow imploded on his first day behind the podium as White House press secretary. That's good to hear. We'll get to that. And your phone calls, your email, all of that. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email us. It's rick@rickemerson.com. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented, Sarah X. Dillon.
You're slurry.
I thought you were drunk when I called you this morning, by the way.
Oh, I was asleep. I told you, I sleep from 9 to 10.
So sad.
I know.
I need every minute of sleep I can get.
I do, honestly. Nate and I are walking the dogs this morning. I'm like, hurry, walk faster. I need to get home and go to bed.
Must nap. By the way, you'll be pleased to know that the drinking has started early at CBS Radio this morning. I It wasn't even noon.
I noticed a whole bunch of people wanted to be on the show.
I'm not going to say. No, I'm not going to reveal who it was.
Is it Paul Halama?
I didn't say that. Yes. No, it's not Paul
Halama.
No,
we haven't seen him today.
It was not Paul Halama.
You would expect it to be.
I don't even think he came to work today.
He's home taking a nap.
People are actually drinking here right now?
I didn't say that. Yes, they were.
Oh, my God.
I'm just saying
it's an observation.
Partial observer. It's not my job to pass judgment on others. And it wasn't even... Because remember last week, at least it was Cinco de Mayo. Last Friday, it was 5th of May. I mean, a little excuse.
Well, this is the 12th de Mayo.
So they get uno, dos, cuatro, ocho, nueve, diez.
Dulce.
It's the Dulce de Mayo. And you can tell because it's like 11:25. There were people in the kitchen mixing and stirring alcoholic concoction.
Is there free food again?
I'm not going to...
No, just free alcohol.
No, just free booze. You'll have to take that free alcohol on an empty stomach today. CBS Radio rules! Yeah! All right. Anyway, so I called Sarah this morning. Oh, here's the other thing. So this is my morning. File this again under no one cares about these complaints because my job is still better than most jobs. And I'm fully cognizant of that fact. But I come in this morning, there's no cream. No cream in the kitchen. No salt. Big grains of salt. No, there was no cream this morning. And I'm not complaining about that as such because I got it taken care of. I got it handled. But not only was there no cream, apparently people have been pilfering the cream. Because they don't have... It's not like powdered or whatever. It's like the little... It's all embarrassing. They're called mini moos. Little tiny, you know, like a non-dairy cream. Here's what I don't understand. They claim that it's half and half.
You're delving like so far off.
But half what and half what?
Where's the half and half?
No one knows. It's gone. There is none. That's what I'm saying.
I bought you the half and half.
No. I'm saying in the kitchen, the mini moos. Because they provide coffee here because they know that nothing would get done without it. And they provide little tiny half and half things. You know, like you have at Sherry's or whatever?
Yes.
But I'm saying they were gone this morning. Apparently people have been stealing the half and half and taking it home. Which, you know, whatever. But here's why I care. Because, like all things, I don't really care about a problem until it affects me. I don't care about anything until it makes my life difficult. Then it becomes a huge problem that needs to be solved. So now they're going to start rationing the half and half. Carol at the front desk, God bless her, she's trying to keep the peace, keep the budget down. They're actually now going to be rationing the half and half, parceling it out a little bit every day. So I called Sarah this morning. Of course, you can tell where my priorities lay because it's like it's the biggest problem.
I know.
Earth.
You call and you have the panicky voice.
It's like Nazis are kicking in the door, you know? Sarah, you got to go to the... Hello? Go to the store. Buy half and half. Stat. And so Sarah answers the phone. And I totally was like, she's drunk. But you were sleeping.
I was drunk? Are you kidding me?
I thought you were drunk or had been drunk earlier in the night.
I was at work earlier. What is with this pause? Like, acting like I drink at 10 o'clock in the morning.
No.
You know, I don't appreciate that.
I'm not saying that coin would drive you to drink.
I'm a hard worker and I had to take a nap.
I don't doubt that. All right. Tim Riley's working on the following stories today.
Well, Tony Snow's first press conference was a disaster this morning.
Yeah.
The president now is almost as unpopular as Richard Nixon. Hard to believe that radio stations and MTV had to be bribed with cash, laptops, and dream vacations to play songs by Ashley Simpson and Lindsay Lohan.
No!
A woman is charged with stalking and abducting a man half her age in her minivan.
Okay. There you go. Well, there you go. And I've already done the recap of my last 21 hours. That's just going to be that. We're going to start doing every day at this time. What did Rick do? What's happened in the 21 hours since we last spoke? And we're done. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour.
Yeah.
And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
Doesn't that production reek of authority?
It does, yes.
Here's Tim Riley.
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. Well, new White House Press Secretary Tony Snow suffered a couple of missteps in his first question and answer session at the White House today. Snow danced around several queries by saying he did not know enough to answer. Imagine that. And although he had at times been harshly critical of the president as Fox News Channel commentator and conservative talk show host, Snow clearly was careful not to step on the wrong toes now that he speaks on behalf of Bush.
So let's just clarify this right now. So Tony Snow, who is I suppose a certain, he has a certain charisma to him, in the way that many really obstreperous people do. But I will, he was a Fox News commentator, and now he's the White House press secretary.
Yeah.
And so so here's the thing. We don't have any sound on this, do we?
Nobody has any sound on this.
They've squashed it. They've shredded it all. There will be no sound. But they asked him a whole bunch of things this morning. What about all this wiretapping and quashing of our civil liberties? And he's just, I don't have access to that information at this time.
Well, he said he deferred that one to Deputy Press Secretary Dana Perino.
Oh, I'm sure Dana Perino, whoever that is, appreciated that.
Maybe he meant Dana Plato. There's a very limited number of people who have been briefed on that program.
Which is another way of saying, I don't know what I'm talking about. So here's the thing. So Tony Snow is either ill-informed, I mean, he either is clearly is just out of the loop and doesn't know anything, or he's just an obsequious little troll. Neither of which is really like sterling information to put on your resume.
But you would think he would know all this stuff, being a talk show host, because...
Being from Fox News and all, you'd think he'd be stunningly well-informed. Yeah. You'd think he'd have a complete and total grasp of the issues, having worked for Rupert Murdoch.
Well, as the discussion continues, reporters complain that they couldn't hear the soft-spoken Perino lady. So Snow took over, read a few more talking points from a sheet of paper in front of him, then ended the line of questioning. I am the new kid on the block. I am not fully briefed on the issue.
I'm sorry. I just poured coffee into myself. He really just sat there and read it off of paper?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good
talking
times.
Points. Snow, a telegenic man who was built a reputation as a bright, unflappable presence on radio and television, seemed to take it in stride. He said, quote, this is just a mess, unquote.
Well, who are we to criticize that? Mm-hmm. Real? If there's any show that can criticize, or they can just embrace Tony Snow just giving into the fact that it's a mess, it is this radio program. So, well, go with God, Tony Snow.
Well, President Bush's approval rating has reached its lowest level since he took office over 5 years ago. The new Harris poll indicates his approval rating is 29%.
29!
Oh, my God.
29!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, at this point, it ought to be like the reverse of an NPR thing. He ought to have to give stuff back.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, the lower his tote board goes, he ought to have to start giving us stuff.
Meanwhile, political analyst Larry Zabato says President Bush is nearly as unpopular as Richard Nixon was.
The president seems to have no floor. He is falling faster and more deliberately than any president since Nixon. It seems almost inevitable that he is going to be about where Nixon was before this is over.
Oh, boy, you know, it just makes my heart, it adds a little spring to my step today. It's like the load on my shoulders is lightened. It's like the sun is a little brighter, the air is a little sweeter, the birds are chirping a little more melodically today. Where was Nixon when he got bounced out? Anybody know?
Oh, gee, I don't know.
I mean, it's got to be, I mean, it had to be like 16, 17. When is Bush, 29?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't even seem possible, not because he's a good president, he's not. Not because he knows what he's doing. He clearly has no grasp.
So I don't mean to be naive here, but if the approval rating goes down super, super low, he can get kicked out of office?
Well, no.
No.
Oh,
no,
man. I was just really excited.
No, it'll just mean that we all wish that that was the case.
Oh.
Here's the thing about this, though. 29% is astounding, and I'll tell you why. Because, 51% of the people voted for him?
Yes.
And you got to figure at least 51% of those people... Of those people, in other words. So, in other words, half of that half. So, 25% of the country, you got to figure, is like your stupid Aunt Matilda, who just digs in her heels and won't admit that she's wrong on anything. Because you, not that these people are not not present on the liberal side too, because they are. Because you and I, we all know people like this. This really is why you are listening to this show and this station and not the not something else.
The Tony Snow Show. Oh, you can't listen to that anymore, can you?
That's why you're listening to this program and not... Does Janine Garofalo even have a show anymore? Did they take that away?
Oh, I think that's still around. Nobody talks about it, though.
I'm not even sure you can really pick it up anywhere. I think that might be one of those options they chose not to renew. Well, whatever. The point is, as this guy said, there's a certain floor. On either side of the political aisle, you got to figure there's like an irreducible 25% of your base... That it's like you literally could be sucking the brains of children out through the soft spot in their heads. And it's like well, he must have a reason. He's president. He's got access to information. It's morning in America. You know, they would have some rationale. And they would never desert people like my in-laws, who no matter what Bush did, would never, ever, ever desert him. You got to figure that's an irreducible 25%.
He lives on the shining city on the hill.
That's what I'm saying. But, I mean, he's getting dangerously close to sinking below that. And here's why that's good news for all of us who are punditizing for a living.
Is that a word?
Yeah, no. It is now. I've coined it. Because it doesn't mean he can be kicked out of office. Like, you can't just be kicked out of office for being unpopular. But what it does mean
you
is...
You can in Britain.
Because, in Britain, they can have the no-confidence vote.
Right, and he is at, I believe...
22.
22, wow. Blair and he was 26 last week.
Blair is at 22 the last time I checked. He is actually below Bush. Oh, but here's the thing. It does seem like this is, and I say this, this is not anything about to do with partisan politics. This is simply the fact of the matter. They do seem like a phenomenally corrupt and stupid administration. So... It seems like you got, as they would say in Vegas, even odds that this president or this administration will do something felonious and impeachable within the next year and a half. And if his approval rating's at like 25, 27, 29, that's blood in the water time. And that means that they will start getting out the hammer and the nails and the dogwood tree. And that's going to be good times for all of us. So I urge everyone now.
You know, we have two more years to go on
this. Which is both great and terrible. Because at the end of 2 years, probably my Bush watch probably not going to be good anymore. We'll have to lose all of that. We'll have to find new watch themes.
Darn
but it.
It
does mean, it's like when you're in the locker room, and you're on any given Sunday, and Al Pacino is pacing back and forth, sleeves rolled up, cigarette dangling out of the corner of his mouth, sweat-soaked hair, and he's talking about, we got one more quarter to win this thing. We've got two more years in which to try to send as many people in the Bush administration to prison as possible. Again, I don't say that for any political reason, just because I like to see politicians humiliated and imprisoned. So, I mean, that Kennedy guy, man, he's going to be next. So, it's going to be good times for all of us.
I was reading today that politics is show business for ugly people.
It really is. It really is. All right. It's 503-733-2.
That's the Bush Watch, by the way.
970. There's your Bush Watch for...
He's the president in residence. He's kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying,
yeah,
that's my bird.
All right. Let's see. We got this. This is about half and half. Our good friend Todd the Corpse emails in. This is me... this is me bluffing and trying to drag things out because the email is loading very slowly. Ah, here we go. Half and half. Okay, look, there's no need to be a wiseacre. He says, it's half milk and half cream, genius. Okay, clearly it's not half milk and half cream, a-hole, because if it was, you couldn't just leave it at room temperature.
Yeah, I think it's made out of horse hooves anyway.
Half horse hooves and half placenta.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? The little... Mini moos, as they're called, and you know what I'm talking. If you've gone to a Denny's, a D's, a Sherry's, whatever, anything like that, and you get those little pre-portioned half and half things.
I think all they do is change the copy a different color.
Maybe, I don't know. I'm just saying they claim on the top to be half and half, and yet I don't. There is no actual milk and cream that you could just leave at room temperature indefinitely, which you can with these. So I don't know. I got nothing. Let's talk to George. You're on the Rick Emerson
Rick,
Show.
Let me tell you how bad it is for our glorious leader. I was at the Wilsonville Post Office. You know where they put the official government announcements under glass?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the announcements?
Yeah.
You know, like a glass case on the wall.
I do,
you know, the FBI things and
yes,
the wanted posters.
Yes.
There's an 8x10 glossy ferret-faced photograph of our glorious frat boy. And underneath in like inch-high letters it says, had enough.
Does it actually? It actually says that at the post office.
Yes, and those glass.
And those people are government employees.
Yes.
Going
badly, my friend.
I just love. You know what it is? I just, as somebody else said, I just I forgot who said this. I think it was maybe George Carlin. I just love Discord.
Yes,
I'm just
a
fan of
this 2 year period.
Discord and entropy. Thank you, George.
Thank
all right.
you. Bye.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's see. Let's get in line. I don't know whoever this is. Hi, who's this?
Hey, Rick, it's John.
John, how can I help you?
Hey, well, hey, by the way, congratulations that you're back.
Thank you.
You know, I listened from the way, way back.
I appreciate it.
You know, the thing that bugs me is these polls.
Yeah.
You know, the way that they're construed and asked, we just take them for face value. No one ever actually gets to see the questions. You know, I could do a poll that probably would, you know, Christian right groups would support porn if I worded it the correct way.
Would you please do that right now? If I give you enough money, would you please provide
exactly
that poll to me?
Yeah. If I threw enough money at a poll, I could probably, exactly, porn and abortion at, on, you know, like a drive-thru. So
if you could do that, my friend, you're never never going to have to work in another job again. You will be employed for life.
But I went to college with some people that became pollsters, and that's their gig, is writing these, you know. So if, you know, it's like the old question of, you know, how much did you love my play?
So,
you know,
right.
It's not a matter of did I like it or not. It's how much did you love it.
But here's the thing, is that Americans are deeply, deeply stupid.
Exactly.
And so this poll of Bush and his approval rating being at 29%, look, maybe it's correct, maybe not. I suspect that it's closer to correct than not. But here's the thing, is most Americans, I think they want to be part of the majority, you know, most people out there, because most people, unlike the very fine audience of this program or the staff of this radio station, most people are just sheep and mindless. And so they wish to be part of the majority. So the more these polls are out there, I believe it becomes a self-replicating and self-enforcing
effect. That is a perfect example of the problem with these type of polls. You know, if you were to look at even Nixon, for example, you talked about Nixon's popularity.
Yes.
Well, before he died, it was funny to see how he was almost sainted.
Oh, no, did you see at his funeral? And when Bill Clinton would say, the era of judging Richard Nixon by anything less than his full life and career has now come to an end. And he was like at a 92% approval rating or something.
Exactly. You know, it's like, I'm sure that generations out, Adolf Hitler will be like, you know, maybe the guy wasn't so bad. You know, it's just, as time goes, I mean, I'm being funny. But,
no, I'm with you, yeah.
But, you know. Yes. It's hard in the time because I'm pissed off that I'm spending $3 for gas. It's Bush's fault. Or, it's very difficult to get an accurate count.
Yes.
I'd say it's much higher than it is.
The bottom line here is we are a talk radio show here, and so our job, as I see it, is to increase hatred, fear, discord, and violence in this country. And so I'm just trying to help with that. All right?
Hey, you're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you, sir. You spread the word.
Rick.
All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. I don't know what I'm doing here. Is he one? Okay, then we'll get him, and then I'm talking. I realize this sounds like gibberish. I'm talking to the screen. Okay, so I'll get one and then two. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Ethan?
Yes, Rick.
Ethan, how are you, sir?
Hey, not too bad. How you doing?
I'm rolling, brother. What do you got?
Well, I sell coffee for a living.
Okay.
So I have an answer for the mini move on you.
So when you say you sell coffee for a living, is that
it
like you like to offices?
Company.
Okay, to offices or to supermarkets or?
Supermarkets, convenience stores, what have you.
So you're a coffee wholesaler.
We are, yes.
Are you for one of the?
We package our own coffee.
Are you for one of the? Okay, so you're sort of like a boutique or a microbrew kind of a coffee thing.
Same idea, yeah.
All right.
Mini moves are radiation treated, so that nothing will grow in them.
Okay.
And that is why they are shelf stable.
Really?
Yep, UHT process. I'm not sure exactly what that stands for, but yeah, they've been irradiated.
Doesn't that seem like a bad idea?
It certainly does, but hey, what do you do?
Okay, because someone else called in, Scotty is telling me here, a lady called in to say the mini-moos are, quote, ultra-pasteurized, but you're claiming that it really is they're just dosed with, like, atomic super energy.
Or, exactly, yeah.
Well, that makes
sense. They are pasteurized, they add some junk to it, you know.
Well, I'm getting cancer anyway. What are you going to do?
Exactly.
All right. Thanks.
You're pretty much damned if you do, damned if you don't at this point, right?
Yep. Thanks. Learn to live with it.
Thanks for your support, Ethan. All right. Thank you, sir.
Hey, no problem, man.
All right. There you go. It's 503-733-2970. Well, let's do one more, and then we'll go back to the city desk. It's Bruce Agler, a former godlike program director. What's up, Bruce?
I have another topic to talk about, but that is a little scary that the mini-moos are irradiated. Wasn't that the whole danger of radioactive fallout and Chernobyl and all that was radioactivity in milk?
As I understood it, but you know what do I know? I the guys that anybody who works for a company called Mini Moo, you know, they clearly more, you know,
we
more smarter than I am.
Chernobyl sitting on the shelf there. Just a couple of notes on our fearless leader. I wanted to remind you primarily that it's not 2 years, it's almost 3 years that we still have this guy.
What year is this? 2006? Well, it's 2008.
Well, remember,
so
he'd be in office until January of 2009.
That's true. Oh, that's true.
So like a third longer. Yeah,
so almost 3 years that you'll get to have the Bush watch.
Yeah.
And then besides, Jeb will no doubt, they're no doubt going to rig the election somehow to get Jeb in there. So we have another actually Well, that'd be 3 and 8, another 11 years of Bushwatch.
The best moment of, and when I say best, it is a relative term. The best moment of, God, I think it was like the 2000 or it was either 2000 or 2004 election. Laura, my wife's on the phone with her mom back in Utah, very straight-laced Mormon woman. And Laura made this joke sort of half-jokingly. She said, oh, ha, 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 well, maybe Chelsea will grow up and become president someday. And her mom says back really angrily, we do not have dynasties in this country. Like, as Bush is being sworn in, you know, like on the television.
Well, thank goodness at least the Bushes weren't polygamists, I guess, or it could be. just on the poll, you know, that poll you're just referring to is the Harris poll. That's the Wall Street Journal Harris poll. And, you know, there is no more conservative paper in the country in its editorial policy than the Journal. So it's kind of hard to ignore that poll. You know, the other day, the New York Times poll had him at 31, and everybody's going, well, yeah, but it's the New York Times CBS poll, you know, the lefties, you know. No, this is the conservatives came out with the 29% poll.
Yeah, no, I can't believe that there's a whole lot of people out there still, like, really, really pimping the Bush presidency.
And then relative to impeachment now, you really don't have that to look forward to unless the Democrats do win in the fall. And I know everybody is saying now that they're probably going to win at least the House, but, I mean, the Democrats are so screwed up, I'm still pretty well convinced that the Republicans, unbelievably, will hold the House and Senate because the Democrats just don't have any decent candidates, don't really know what they're doing.
Because Democrats are only really skilled at losing. That's really their only talent.
And even if they do win, they're probably only going to win the House, which at least means you would have the actual impeachment, but you'd probably never have the trial in the Senate because the Senate decide not to do
it. Well, I can dream.
Maybe. Keep your fingers crossed.
I will indeed. All right, there you go. There's a former Godlike program director, Bruce Agler. All right, we have the break here, don't we? We have CNN. All right, Lisa Goddard?
Yes.
All right, Lisa Goddard. We'll talk to her about this. Lisa Goddard's coming up. Bottom of the hour. What else? I can't remember. Other things. Yes, other things indeed. Jim Roop's coming up. More production from Scotty J. Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio. You stay there. It's a Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Don't go anywhere. Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. It's Friday. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. He'll have the whole story about that SUV driving through the bank at Tiger, by the way. Jim Rube coming up next hour. Top five Rolling Stones guitar intros of all time. Let us welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill, filled with knowledge. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard joining us now. How are you, Lisa?
Hey, what's up, Rick? I'm good. How are you?
Hey, did you know this? Did you know that prepackaged half and half creamer for your coffee has a shelf life of 3 months? Do you find that a little unnerving?
That is a little unnerving.
I'm just saying, it's not one of those things you think would last for 90 days at room temperature.
Wow, so how long does, like, soy milk last?
I have no idea. All I know is that soy milk is... You have to watch soy milk because... It shames me that I even have such knowledge, but if you don't stir it carefully, it separates, and then it gets all clumpy, and that's no good. And then you got a bunch of soy sludge at the bottom of the cup.
Active right. No.
You don't want to deal with that. Hey, Laura.
Wow, two tips I got from you today.
Well, you know, the Rick Emerson Show is here to make your life better. We like to have a whole panoply of you know, the life aspects that we help you improve, Lisa.
Well.
Let me ask you about this. So this CIA, the CIA thing continues to... I know that now... The thing is now that they're just refusing in some way to talk about whether it was about the NSA amassing all of these phone records. And I know, you know, Bush is, you know, he's picked this guy to head the CIA. And there's just all of these statements coming out where they're just not really wanting to talk about it, address it, confirm it, deny it. And I guess my question is, more than anything else, like, isn't this the sort of thing that they have to talk about? How can the government... And I know this is a bit of a rhetorical question. Just not talk about it, especially Hayden, who was supposedly at the NSA when they did it.
Well, there's two things going on. One is we're sort of entering a new realm as far as how far the media is going, what the media is, media knowledge versus what the administration admitting to. And as the media has gotten a hold of so many stories recently that the administration hasn't wanted out there, that it's really created a kind of a new era in how the White House and the executive offices communicate with the American public, whether they admit or just kind of try and shrug off and say they're not going to talk about stories that are out there in the paper. Of course, there is potentially a legitimate argument that these are national security stories and that they shouldn't have to talk about them, but there's also the argument that it's not clear that this was legal, and in fact, as we know, Quest and their president of their company really questioned the legality of this. So they can do it simply because they are doing it, and that's what lets this go into Congress's lap to see if Congress is going to investigate and question the legality of the program and of not talking about it.
Now, what is your read? Is your read that Congress is just making some the appropriate noises about this because they know it plays well with the American public? Or is the sense that Congress, like at some point, is Congress just going to sort of have enough of this and decide that somebody needs to get a yardstick taken to them?
I think there are some members of Congress, I think Arlen Specter is one, who have very serious concerns about these programs and very serious concerns, maybe not about the intent of these programs. I think a lot of Republicans on the Hill generally trust this president, but I think they have concerns about the fact that we have these programs that apparently have no check whatsoever on presidential power. And that is what I think bothers people on Congress. But then, you know, there's only so much that Congress can do, and they know that. They can have hearings. They can, you know, hammer and yammer and say whatever they want. But in the end, unless it's not even clear that the Supreme Court would be the one to arbitrate this, but it's possible that that is really the only body that would be able to deliberate. Who exactly has what powers in this venue?
So, and of course, Tony Snow was no help on any of this. But is it now? I don't know what you've heard, seen,
yammer and yammer,
witnessed
again.
The word is that he just imploded spectacularly this morning, and I'm really praying to the God of my choice that that is true.
I know this is what you've been waiting for. Hoping and praying. I want to tell you, I think these reports are a little exaggerated, a little bit.
Well, that's true.
I think it was a fiasco. Because he tried to put, you know, dozens of members of the press corps in a tiny West Wing office. That was a bad plan to begin with. He started at the wrong time. A lot of people were told 9:30, and he started at 9:15, and that's a problem. And there were a lot of questions that he did not know the answers to, and he blatantly said, I don't know. And the press corps, it really was like a scene from West Wing, and the press corps really riding on him, and he did stammer somewhat, that's for sure. But there were some answers that he handled skillfully, but it does leave a lot of questions as to what's going to happen next Tuesday. We thought his first on-camera briefing was going to be Monday. It was scheduled for Monday. They've now moved that back to Tuesday. They say that's because of the president's plan for Monday night. You can think whatever you want, Rick.
Well, I was just actually going to say that everything I know about the American political system came to be through the mouth of Aaron Sorkin. But I do I do sort of get the feeling, and it sounds like this is correct, that if you show any weakness, if you just yield at all, that the press will just consume you alive. In that room.
Right. I think even if you pause and there is a lot of, I guess, in the press, yes? What does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, and I think it was definitely, he realizes he's in a brave new world on the other side of the desk now.
Fantastic. All right, Lisa Goddard, you have a good weekend, Lisa. We will talk
to you
next weekend. There you go. Next week. There's Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent in D.C. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
Well, you're going to find this hard to believe. But New York Attorney General Elliot Spitzer has announced that Universal Music will pay $12 million in a payola case against the company, which stated that the label gave vacations, gifts, and other outright bribes to radio stations and MTV.
I can't believe
to ensure airtime to such artists as Ashley Simpson, Lindsay Lohan, Nick Lachey, and Brian McKnight.
I'm horrified.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. Let me just be very clear about this, that I myself am horrified by and opposed to the practice of payola and or plugola.
Oh, come on, like we haven't seen it, though.
Oh, and they got some flat-screen TVs, too.
All I'm
seeing vacations.
All I know
is that I've seen a lot of people take a lot of vacations that...
It's not here at CBS
not
Radio
here.
That we've seen that.
Absolutely.
We are...
We haven't been here long enough to see anyone take a vacation. And already asked for family vacation. I'm going to stop talking now.
Let's move on.
So that's that.
Okay.
Speaking of drinking, as we were a few minutes ago, tomorrow is the perfect day to raise your glass high and celebrate the American cocktail. Believe it or not, Author and drink historian Anastasia Miller says the first social cocktail is 200 years old. You're probably wondering, where and when was that served? Well, apparently, drink consultant Jared Brown has the answer to that.
First definition was that a cocktail was spirits, sugar, water, and bitters. Now, if the spirits were whiskey, which was more than likely, then the first cocktail would have been an old-fashioned.
How does one get, okay, A, how does one get this job being a cocktail consultant for a living? Where is that? Is that like when you answer that late-night infomercial on television where there's the guy in the red bow tie and he's talking about, would you like to attend the bartending academy?
You start out as a temp.
Maybe.
Finally.
Because there's a bartending academy right down the street. Have you seen it? It's on, what street? It's like 5th? I think it's right by, not coincidentally, it's right across the street from the Art Institute of Portland. So all of the 800 number colleges, because I don't know about you, but like any school that advertises with an 800 number on television after midnight on the WB is not a real school.
Or the one that's in the food court at Lloyd Center.
Is there one? No.
Yeah, Apollo
really?
College.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah. What is the deal with Apollo College?
I don't know, but it's right in the food court, like right next to Claire's Boutique.
That's convenient.
Every time I see that picture, I've seen that place, and every time I see that picture, Apollo Creed, like in a classroom, you know, just Carl Weathers in it. Rock, you got to know! But that Art Institute of Seattle is one of those things I saw all the time, and it's clearly just for stoners and F-ups. Like, who do you know that's ever gone to the Art Institute of blank and gotten a job anywhere? Sarah?
I know fashion designers who have gone there.
At the Art Institute of Seattle?
Yeah. Well, not at the Art Institute here in Portland.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was just sort of a scam to, like, get your parents to send you money every month.
No, I think it's...
I'm enrolled at the Art Institute of Seattle.
You just don't travel in that social group.
No, I guess...
I'm sure there are people who are slackers, but there are also the people who it means something to them.
I thought going to the Art Institute of Seattle was like being one of those guys where it's like, what do you do? I'm writing a novel. You're clearly not writing a novel. Clearly you just can't get a real... What do you do? I have a show on cable.
People do go to art school, Rick.
I don't dispute that people go to art school. The Beatles went to art school. I'm just saying... That doesn't seem like a real art school. Look,
what would a real art school entail?
Yeah, exactly. But I think every college these days has an 800 number.
Really? Okay. Well, whatever. Anyway, around the same time at night, if you're watching television, they advertise the Bartending Academy, and it's this guy with this huge porn mustache. He's got a huge molestache, and he kind of looks like Tony Danza if he was a little more swarthy. And then, again, he has a huge mustache, covers his entire lip, goes all the way out to his cheekbones, and he's wearing, like, it's like a terrible, bad, black and white, like a tux kind of outfit, mm-hmm. And he's sort of, like, in this dimly lit walnut panel bar that clearly doesn't resemble any bar that you will ever actually get a job in, having gone to the Bartending Academy, and it's that thing where it's like the camera has caught him off guard. It's like he's handing a drink to like, a beautiful woman, and then he turns to the camera and, like, a...
And winks?
He doesn't, although you expect him to.
He twirls his mustache.
He hands the drink to the woman, and then he turns to the camera and goes, I used to wake up every day and wonder where my life was going. That's before I discovered the Bartending Institute. And then the logo at the end, the Bartending Institute, the Bartending Academy, it says B-A, and then, like, the B has a little bow tie on it. It's kind of like a red bow tie.
Oh, that is that was probably designed by someone at the Art Institute.
That's right. And every time I go...
So somebody must have found a job.
And every time I drive by the Art Institute, it's just a lot of girls out front with, like, bad tattoos smoking. And that's all it is. It just sort of seems like the parking lot next to the drama room back in high school.
There must be somebody inside not smoking.
I suppose. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, former teen idol Leif Garrett told an L.A. judge he didn't want to continue with the drug rehab program because he kept being asked to take drug tests and they kept finding him with drugs. He thought they were too strict. So, defense attorney Andrew Flyer said the judge complied after the 41-year-old Garrett decided not to go through the six-month program.
He opted out of the drug court, so he was sentenced today. And he pled to the possession of the heroin and was sentenced to 3 years formal probation to check in with the probation officer and serve 90 days.
I just want somebody to be honest once in their life. I just want somebody to be in court and just to say that they like doing drugs. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy is at least one step closer to that. He says that he doesn't want to go through the pain. He's basically admitting that he's just going to fail every drug test. And so why waste everybody's time and money by going through this ridiculous charade?
No, Garrett said he wants to get on with his life, whatever that may entail.
Getting on with his life means going home and drawing the curtains and painting the walls black and injecting heroin into his throat. That's clearly what getting on with your life means. What life is Leif Garrett going to be getting on with at this point? What What big glove? Unless he's calling the bartending academy, what?
Maybe he's an artist.
See, in comedic circles, that's a callback that we just did there.
Yes.
See, because we mentioned the bartending academy earlier and made light of it in a comedic and humorous fashion.
And we talked about cocktails.
And then we moved forward to talk about something else, Leif Garrett, but then I ended it with, ba-da-da, bartending academy. I'm sorry, are we interrupting your phone calls?
I'm sorry, it's my friend from New York.
Well, let's see what he has to say.
Okay.
Probably went out to buy a loaf of bread and considered himself lucky to get home with it not being squished.
Oh, wait, I'm gonna call you back.
Did you just spill coffee into the control board?
No, it's water, and it didn't get in the control board.
Oh, you know there's an instant firing policy for that.
I know, and it's not coffee, and it didn't get on the board.
Uh-huh. You know, I'm powerless to change that policy.
Rick, stop.
Does your friend know what's going
on
here?
I'm dumping this section.
All right. See, you know, I could go and I could plead for your job, and they'd laugh at me. I couldn't do anything.
Okay, it's not even anywhere near the buttons.
Okay.
Thank God.
All right.
I hung up with my friend from New York I haven't spoken to in 6 months.
Well,
he thinks I'm a freak.
Now he's going to kill himself. He was probably depressed and calling you, hoping that you would talk him out of it.
No, because he lives in this really nice apartment on the Upper East Side, and I was going to ask if my sister and I could stay with him when I go to New York.
He must be a successful artist.
Yeah. He went to both academies. We got this. Rick, I enjoyed Sarah's pants on Coin this morning.
I wore a skirt.
Was she panting?
Tim is on
today. Hold on. That's a little... Oh, and you know, that was also a...
It was just a little boom thing.
There you go. That's from yesterday. I enjoyed Sarah's pants on Coin this morning. That sure beats the flannel-wearing traffic butch that fills in for the dude on Channel 8. Triangle Man hates Particle Man. Okay, there you go. That's Malcolm.
It was just a little boom thing.
Here's Tim Riley.
Well, for the second time, Washington's Department of Ecology has fined a Kent food processing plant, accusing it of releasing fats, oil, and grease into a storm drain at its processing plant in Kent. Department spokesman Larry Altos says there are procedures for disposing of grease properly.
Semi-solid grease can go
into the solid waste
stream, go into garbage. The liquids need to be kept in a container, and then there are companies, often rendering plants, that can pick them up.
First of all, rendering plant is another place we have to go. We were talking about field trips, because we got to go see...
That's where Happen Half begins.
There, everything made by the Hostess Company starts its life. Rendering plants are fantastic. We're going to put that on the list of field trips. What do we got? We got meatpacking facility, rendering plant, funeral home, sewage waste treatment facility, this nuclear place before they blow it up. We're going to talk more about that. Let me write it down. Nuclear landmark. So here's the thing with grease. Like, the only grease that really is generated in my house is bacon grease. And doesn't everybody just pour that right down the drain? Isn't that what you're supposed to do with that?
I don't eat bacon. I couldn't tell you.
Sarah?
I don't think you're supposed to do that.
What am I supposed to do?
I think you're supposed to store it and then stick it out on the curb. And someone takes it away.
And then grease fairies.
The bacon grease man.
the greasiest elves.
He rings a little bell on the cart. Grease man.
Bring out your grease. Bring out your grease.
But don't put it on the doorstep before Tuesday.
There's no grease man. There's no grease.
I don't think there's a gas man.
He used to be on the air in Florida somewhere before you fired.
Yeah.
I changed my oil. You leave your oil on the curb and then take it away.
Good radio reference by the guy. Doug Tracht comes by and picks up. Can I have a job? I know I work blue. That little radio, that little shop humor there. I just dump it down the drain. And you know what? Everybody's just going to have to learn to be okay with that.
No, because then it hardens, and then you won't be able to get...
No, it hardens somewhere else, though. It doesn't harden in my... It's already
it
out of my pipes.
It hardens in the pipes.
Hardens in my pipes. Oh, it's going to be one of those shows I could just tell. Woman, that's my retirement grease! All right, well, whatever. By the way, you should know that during the break, Sarah used the following phrase. Rick, I'm full of milk. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, a Grants Pass, Oregon family welcomed a new addition to their family, quintuplets. Rhonda...
Just another one of those families where the wife packed herself full of chemicals and slept on a wooden fertility god.
You're about to experience a surprise story change here. Rhonda Ford delivered two boys and three girls at OHSU. The proud papa said the wife didn't use any fertility drugs. His habits, however, he claims, may have played a role. The only thing that could have helped are the Rockstar energy drinks I drink every morning before work.
Oh, God.
Is this a hick wash?
Seriously.
Ford hauls logs for a living.
That's a yes.
And he parks cars at OHSU to get by when logs are out of season.
Oh.
When logs are out of season.
Mm-hmm. Well, logs are a seasonal thing.
Aren't there trees all the time? How is it? I know that growing up in the Northwest, I should know these things. When is it that logs go out of season exactly?
I don't. Well, nobody wants to chop logs in the rain.
I guess not.
You can slip and fall and have a tree fall on you.
Sarah's picking up the phone and holding it, the actual handheld phone in the studio, and holding it up to her head.
I keep thinking I'm crazy. Do you hear that?
No, it's because line 4 used to be the CNN line.
Oh, okay.
So that's why it's got an external ring on it. People at home find this fascinating. So when logs are out of season, you can always get a job parking cars.
At OHSU.
And drinking Rockstar.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Police say a cup of hot coffee stopped an attempted bank robbery in Cincinnati. Two men accosted a bank employee while she was opening the National City branch around 5:30 Eastern time. The men told the woman they had a gun and they wanted her to open the bank vault. Very well, said the woman. Then she threw hot coffee in the face of one of the men and they both ran off.
Fantastic. Okay, I got all these grease calls to get to, believe it or not.
Grease is popular.
Grease is where the kids, the ratings are in Grease. Grease is the word that blah, blah, blah. Let's see. So we're going to go to Dennis about Grease. Dennis?
Yeah, Rick, I can answer both your questions.
Which, Grease, I don't even remember having more than one. What was the other
grease,
one?
Grease, you save for frying, say, eggs or cornmeal or something like that in it.
Hush
and
puppies.
Your, log question?
Yeah.
When there's snow above 2,000 feet and you can't get a log truck in there, you go do something else with it.
Okay, apparently. Okay, that makes sense. See how we've... This is the power of the Rick Emerson audience. I didn't
nobody
know.
Nobody can afford to plow 12 feet of snow every week.
Oh, that is true. All right, so the bacon grease, you just kind of put in a thing and leave it there.
Yeah, you put in a little Tupperware tub or something, put it in the refrigerator.
My mom actually used
definitely
to save... I know this. And, my mom actually would save her bacon grease in a Folgers can in the fridge. That was my mom's thing. Yeah,
and you fry eggs and a variety of other things in it.
All right, but what if I want to get rid of it?
Fry something in it and get rid of it.
I like the where? Answer is fried food.
Fry it and eat it.
Well, you sneak out in the middle of the night and dump it over your neighbor's fence.
All right. Thank you, sir.
It also makes pretty good rat bait.
Okay. There's Dennis. The more you know. Thank you, Dennis.
You're welcome.
All right. There you go. That's one to grow on, kids.
In the news.
I don't even know what's happened today. No, wait, when I was a kid, when I was a boy. Wait, hold on. Let me find the when I was a boy sounder. Because this is clearly becoming...
I hope it's a harmonica.
No, I don't have that. All I have is the dream sequence for now. When I was a boy... Do you remember when I was a kid and my mom, we ate a lot of fried foods in our house because we were people of the land. And so we would have all this bacon grease just sitting around, and my mom's whole thing was to dump it into a small Folgers can, and then it would just sit in the fridge. And then she would use it to fry everything else in, and the upshot of which is that everything in the house tastes of bacon, which is why you have a whole generation of men such as myself who are bacon addicts, where everything should be wrapped in bacon, cooked with bacon, sandwiched between two slices of bacon, have shredded bacon on top, have reduced extract of bacon infused into it. Everything is, you know, my whole life is just judged on one baconometer. And the expression on Tim's face is really, it's priceless right now. So as a result, I never had to deal with this issue because, you know, waste not, want not. And so that grease, you know, Mom, I'm having a bowl of Fruit Loops. Put some grease on it. You know, is it the grease would just go there? I got bacon. I don't save the grease. Goes down the drain. I figure if it's going to harden and solidify somewhere, it's going to be far away from my house when it does so, and I don't care. Dangering dolphins, couldn't possibly care less. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, a Minnesota woman who was fired for sexual harassment will spend the next 3 years in prison for stalking and abducting a fellow she worked with. The victim told the court that he thought he was going to be killed. The day that he ran into this woman, the 23-year-old victim was walking to his car in a parking garage. What he didn't know was his former co-worker, a woman twice his age, who was fired for sexually harassing him, was waiting. The lady, who's 48-year-old Lori Foster, handcuffed the victim at gunpoint and forced him into her minivan.
Forced her into the minivan.
He was able to break free and ran into a convenience store and called 911. 6 months after the ordeal, Nicholas Wasselman told the court he still doesn't know what would have happened if he didn't escape. There is no doubt in my mind that, well, I could have been killed. He still fears for himself, his family, and friends. My experience that night was one I do not wish on anyone. It has haunted my dreams and my everyday life. Every day I walk by and even park where the events transpired. And my wrists still bear the scars from my handcuffs. If I could turn back the clock, boy, would I turn back the clock.
This is just some horny middle-aged woman that wanted the F him. Isn't that what this is? Mm-hmm. This is, get into my minivan, sonny. Sometimes it's easier just to go along, mm-hmm. you know? All right.
When she is released from prison, she will spend nearly 5 years on probation.
Okay. Let's do a couple more here, and then we'll break. Here's what's coming up. We got CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, who's going to be with us, talk about some sort of lawsuit, the whatever. We got more production from Scotty J. I don't think this is a man. I haven't heard this one yet. I don't know what it is. Last week he did this man on the street thing for us.
Maybe he's mad, so it's profanity ridden.
Probably. We'll play last week's again. It was this man on the street thing. We'll do that, and then we'll play the new one. We've got the top five coming up, top five Rolling Stones guitar introductions of all time. Scott Daly will be here from Film Fever Radio. We'll talk just a little bit about this last week's Sopranos, because we're coming up on only three left. And we've got some questions about this nuclear landmark and whatnot. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, following a week of tough talk, a 250-member sheriff's posse charged with fighting and arresting illegal aliens made one whole arrest in its inaugural desert search. At the lunch Wednesday night, the sheriff said the posse was not worried about costs or jail space, but to arrest as many illegal aliens as they found. But they only found one.
One in Arizona!
It makes me angry, he said.
It makes me angry that there wasn't enough crime for me to round a bunch of people up.
When they see law enforcement, they just run. If they're trying to obey the law, why are they running? Doesn't make me happy.
What would you do? You're some guy... Let's be honest. Yeah. I don't care if you're legal, illegal, half-legal... legal beagle, legal eagle, doesn't matter. If you're some guy with brown skin in Arizona and a bunch of white men at night with guns are coming after you, I'm going to encourage you now, run! Run! Run like the wind! So, the idea that he's going out because he thinks there's crime, they can only find one criminal to arrest and he's somehow annoyed that there isn't more of it. This is a uniquely American problem, I think. The idea that he can't find enough people to enforce his moronic pinhead vigilante justice against. So, yes, I encourage you to run from these people. They're not safe. Let's do one more.
Oh, listen to this. An Indiana man may not face charges for taking off with a runaway 13-year-old girl he met on the so-called MySpace.com. The girl passed herself off as an 18-year-old, and the man didn't realize his potential relationship candidate was 13 until police pulled over his car yesterday morning. Authorities in Macomb County issued an Amber Alert for the girl Tuesday night after the man took off with the teen. Police caught the man and the girl and the man's stepbrother, so I guess he's involved somehow, after tracking their car using the man's cell phone signal. The girl posted sexually suggested pictures of herself on MySpace.com and lied about her age to attract the fellow.
No, I'm horrible. Well, because you can't... Isn't that the thing that you can't even have a MySpace page unless you're over 18, can you?
How do they know?
Well, but don't you have to at least claim that you're 18, Sarah? Do you know about this?
You can be younger than 18.
Really? I thought that...
But no, there are these different settings that you set that people over 18 can't look at your profile if you're under 18.
Oh, I see. But everybody just lies, right? I mean, that's what you just...
Yeah, well, I have friends who've had problems on MySpace, so they changed their ages to like 14 and 15. So nobody can see him.
Yeah, that... Okay. But so if you claim that you're 14, people have to be friends before they can look at it? Is that the thing? They can't browse it?
Yeah, they can't browse it. And I think there's a setting that if you're over a certain age, too.
All right. Well, in any event. Oh, by the way, but this is good to note. Look at this little segue let me do here. And bada bing. Go to rickemerson.com. We now have a whole little list on the side of all of our MySpace pages. Tim Riley eschewing and passing over the new technology, which is probably just as well.
I don't have time. No. I'm a busy newsman. I don't have time to be playing on the internet.
No, I'm just...
I'm busy digging a little bit deeper.
I'm just saying...
The stories that affect us.
I'm just saying, of the three of us, I suspect that you would probably engender the most disturbing stalking. And that is a testament to your appeal to the people.
Yes.
But you go to rickemerson.com. There's a link. You go now about halfway down the page on the right-hand side. There's a whole little thing called MySpace links. And it links to Sarah's MySpace, mine, the radio stations, the shows. It's like 800 different... You need never do actual work at your job again. You can now spend your entire workday frittered away in front of the computer, clicking and adding and listing and filing and sorting and doing whatever else these people love.
But Andy Rooney gets when I will. How's that?
But Andy Rooney, you count down, man. 3, 2, 1. Tell that guy doing a MySpace thing. By the way, Sarah Dillon is full of milk. It's 503-733.
Will you stop saying that?
You're the one who said it.
I just really wanted milk, so I drank a lot of milk, and now I'm full of it.
So there.
You're full of what?
Vigor.
Vim.
Full of spunk. You'd like to, what have I done?
Don't tell me you erased everything.
No, I didn't.
Okay, good.
Wait, hold on. Can I? All right. I do want to note, by the way, that we've now got, thanks to some listeners.
Come on!
Also?
Come on!
Also?
Come on!
All right, there you go.
I'm wearing a $250,000 suit.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Sean from the Couve, hang on. We'll get you when we come back. We got the phone calls, inexplicably. When we come back, Rolling Stones Top 5. Scotty J Production, Jim Roop, Scott Daly. More show than any one man can handle. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We are back after this. Don't go anywhere. Here's the Four Horsemen.